You're listening to Sit, Stay, Learn with Dr. Adrian Wright, a veterinary podcast brought to you by Ardent Animal Health.
Regenerative medicine is one of the fastest growing fields, with new papers published every single day. As a busy mom of two, trying to juggle a career and a family and dance practice and soccer practice, I'm guilty of not making the time to keep up with the research, and I think that a lot of other veterinary professionals are in the same situation. My name is Dr. Adrian Wright, and welcome to Sit, Stay, Learn, a short podcast where I review the latest in veterinary science. Each episode, I break down a paper and then spend 10 to 15 minutes here just giving you the details you need to know to feel like you're staying up to date with the research. For today's paper, I chose a pilot study for the IV use of adipose MSCs for the treatment of feline asthma. This paper comes from researchers at the University of Missouri and was published in the Journal of Feline Medicine and Surgery in 2016. You may be asking yourself, you just said the latest papers and you chose a paper published in 2016. And you're right, I did. So why did I choose this paper? Well, first of all, it's a very well done pilot study. And two, it gives cats a little bit of love. And three, I think feline asthma is a problem that we still really haven't tackled or addressed to really give cats options for their treatment. So I think this is a good paper to actually pull from the depths of the literature. Let's talk about it. Let's see what's good about the paper and maybe what needs a little bit of work. So to highlight the study design, the study objective was to explore the feasibility and the efficacy of serial IV doses of adipose-derived MSCs in a feline experimental asthma model. So on the last paper I covered, it was just a case study. So this time I've chosen a pilot study just so we can kind of compare and contrast the differences. For the experimental model, they used allergic asthma and they induced that in six cats. They used four males, two females. Cats were selected from a high responder asthmatic colony housed at the University of Missouri. Four cats were MSC treated, two cats were placebo. For placebo, they used a saline. Again, this sample size is really small, but it is a pilot study. We had six additional healthy cats. They were untreated, and then we had four asthmatic cats, also untreated, and they were used as controls for the analysis. So I think here's where you're going to see the differences in the pilot study versus the case study is we do have really nice controls here. Cats in the treatment arm received five IV doses of allogeneic adipose-derived MSCs. Placebo group received five saline IV doses over the first 130 days from the induction of asthma. The time points were day 0, day 14, 28, 98, and 130. The cats were assessed rather long-term, so they did follow them for 9 months after treatment. So if we want to dive into the topic a little bit, feline asthma can affect as much as 5% of the domestic cat population. It is characterized by airway eosinophilia and airway hyperresponsiveness and remodeling. Asthma is driven by a Th2 or a T helper response to inhaled allergens. Standard of care uses glucocorticoids and bronchodilators to address the inflammation and the reduced airflow, but no therapy can consistently prevent or reverse all aspects of asthma. The choice of MSCs for treatment actually makes sense when you think about it. So MSCs are immunomodulatory. They've been shown to restore the Th1-Th2 balance in asthmatics. This can be seen in the decreased Th2-related cytokines following treatment. MSCs may also work to promote immune tolerance through proliferation of Tregs and secretion of regulatory cytokines. Studies have been published investigating MSCs in rodent asthma models and have demonstrated reduced asthmatic features. We also know that MSCs, when they're given IV, traffic to the lungs, and they may remain here for some time. It would be reasonable to assume that even after the cells are no longer in the area, the extracellular vesicles and other secretions from those cells would have prolonged effects in the lung. For the MSCs, this group used adipose-derived allogeneic MSCs. They were harvested from healthy, specific pathogen-free cats. The cells were culture expanded and harvested between passages 2 and 5, so they did really early passage here. They have been previously characterized as published in another one of their papers. Here, I'm unsure if this is from a single donor, like they created a single cell line from a single donor, or if they've pulled multiple donors and all of those donors are pulled together to make a cell line. That isn't really highlighted in this paper. The cells were cryopreserved until treatment, and then they were shipped in the culture media, which would be containing some serum. Cells were then washed and resuspended in saline and heparin before administering. I find the heparin a little interesting. We administer cells IVs in cats here at Ardent, and that is not in our protocol. So I find this choice to be interesting since, number one, we're wary of allogeneic use, and number two, we're even more wary of repeated allogeneic administration. So repeated injections can lead to an allohumoral response, which is an immune reaction where the body produces alloantibodies against the antigens from another individual of the same species, or rather, the donor. This is seen in pregnancy, transfusions, and transplantations. The alloantibodies then target and attack the foreign antigens, which lead to rejection. So in this case, the recipient of the cells would have the alloantibodies. Those would target the cells that we've just injected. This paper is unclear as to whether the cats received doses from the same donor or if a different donor was used for every injection, which would lessen this risk, assuming that every donor was different. If the cells were pulled from multiple donors to make one cell line, I still think that that would be pretty risky. On to the dosage. So the first two injections were 2 million and 4 million MSCs. The group mentions that they had a low recovery of cryopreserved cells, so then they increased the dosage on the remaining three injections, and they were at 4.7 million, 10 million, and 10 million. Again, this is a little off to me on their cryopreservation protocol and why they would have such significant loss. So maybe it was the specific cryopreservative they used, or maybe their counting technique. I don't know. Either way, they essentially doubled and then some the dosage for the last two, up to 10 million. To cover the results, the team analyzed airway eosinophilia. They looked at pulmonary mechanics, they had some CT imaging, and several immunology-based assays in an attempt to elucidate the mechanism of action for the MSCs. When you look at airway eosinophilia, at the early points of the study, the airway eosinophil percentage was unaffected by treatment. The post-treatment average of days 12, 26, 47, 108, and 133 of cats treated with MSCs was 41% plus or minus 15% compared to the placebo-treated cats, which was an average of 34% plus or minus 16%. So they're fairly equal. However, the long-term results were more promising in this case. So by month 9, the eosinophil percentage of MSC-treated cats decreased to normal levels, while the placebo-treated group did not. The MSC-treated group was 6%, placebo was 20%, and as a reminder, normal values are less than 17%. So at 9 months, we also saw diminished airway hyperresponsiveness, and that was noted in all MSC-treated cats compared to the placebo cats. This was tested as the dose of methylcholine required to double the baseline airway resistance. At 133 days, the median for MSC cats was 22.9 mg per mil compared to 1.1 and 5 mg per mils for both placebo cats. Again, this is a pilot study, so we're looking at super small sample sizes, but I would say there is quite a bit of difference here. Lung attenuation and bronchial wall thickening scores were significantly reduced in MSC-treated cats when compared to untreated asthmatic cats, which is consistent with the decreased airway remodeling that we saw at month 9. Unfortunately, there were no significant values in the immunology-based assays that could point to a clear mechanism of action for MSCs. I mean, this could be for a couple of reasons. I know that antibody selection and immunology tests in feline maybe aren't always the most reproducible or the most highly sensitive. Also, maybe they just didn't choose a test that was modeling the mechanism of action. So when you look at the conclusions of this paper, overall, despite this being a pilot study with very small sample sizes, I do think the authors did a good job of adding in appropriate controls. You had the placebo controls, you had untreated healthy cats, you had untreated asthmatic cats, so they had good controls within this study. The study also did provide important pilot data that supports the use of MSCs as a therapeutic for asthmatic cats. They demonstrated that repeated IV administration of allogeneic MSCs decreased remodeling and may diminish airway inflammation and airway hyperresponsiveness. Unlike in rodent models, these changes were delayed, and they were noted long-term. This suggests that an immediate benefit may not be observed, although the sample size is pretty small. Studies would definitely need to be done to confirm these findings on larger populations, and importantly, no adverse events were reported. So we're always concerned about safety here. They had no adverse events to report in this paper. And that's all for today. So what are your thoughts on the efficacy of MSCs in treating feline asthma? For the text version of this episode, you can head to our blog. And if you have questions on this episode or a paper you'd like for me to review, you can email me at adrian@ardentanimalhealth.com. I hope you all have a wonderful week. See you next time.